Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Don't forget the top 5 at 5 today, brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet in Broadview. True outlet prices every day. Just in, see the new mahogany and alderwood entry doors. There's a $50 gift certificate to that store awaiting you in the top 5 at 5 today. Don't miss it. All right, the former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, Gary McCarthy, joins us. And Gary, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks,
always,
Gary.
Always a pleasure.
Hey, bro. Hey, Anna. How you guys doing?
Good, good. Yeah. And you have, after leaving the Chicago Police Department, what is it now, 7 months ago, 8 months ago, you stayed in Chicago, and it does seem as though you want to make a go of it here, and I appreciate that personally. I think that's a pretty bold statement here, because the city does need a lot of work. If you could wave a magic wand right now, using what you know that you can say, what's the first thing you would do?
My emotional reaction is to make me the police superintendent again. My practical reaction is to do something about the gun laws in the state. But, you know, Ro, you bring up the way you pose that question is interesting, because there is no magic wand. Crime reduction and organizational change is a process, and we were well down the road in that process. Crime, as you know, was down 40% under my watch. We had back-to-back years with 50% reductions in complaints against our officers. We were making more gun arrests and less total arrests. And at the same time, a number that people don't know is that police-related shootings under my tenure were down 68%.
Wow.
Based upon training, policy, and supervision. So that process was underway. You know about back-to-back years of the lowest number of murders in this city since the mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There is no magic wand. It's hard work. It's a process. It's a formula, and there's going to be rough waters some days. And when you hit those rough waters, you don't just say, okay, we're going to stop doing this. We're going to do something different.
And no one can be proud of what's happening in the city right now. I mean, the numbers are out of control. If I can, though, ask you, Gary, to comment on the man who took over for you, Eddie Johnson. I was at an event for cops last night, Chicago's funniest cop, and it seemed like people liked that he's from within the department. They're so, at this point, fairly positive about him. But do you think he can be effective? Can he turn things around here? Does this man have the tools to do what you had done, bringing crime down and continuing with that?
I promoted Eddie Johnson twice. Eddie was my first and my last promotion as police superintendent. I made him a deputy chief, and then I made him chief of patrol eventually. So I think the world of Eddie Johnson. The conditions that exist here right now, the political conditions that exist, make it impossible, I think, for anybody to succeed, because it's not about the individual. It's about everything that's going on. And if you only focus on the individual, then you can judge Eddie as a success or a failure. But there's so many outside influences that are affecting it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about morale. That's the first. It seems to me that in terms of the way that – let's start with the police side, and then we'll start with the citizenry side or the criminal side. But the police side, it seems like morale is way down. In the aftermath of the release of the Laquan McDonald video, the firing of you, the now assumption by patrolmen who are out on the street day and night, that have to make traffic stops, have to interrupt things, have to get out of their cars to maybe run after a guy who's running away from a situation, that there seems to be a reluctance because they don't believe, those men and women don't believe, that the city will have their back, and they don't want to get, if they get into a tussle with somebody and something bad happens, they don't want to go to jail.
And just today we saw in the Holland Tunnel, back where you used to be, a van heading into New York from New Jersey, police found an entire arsenal of weapons, 2,000 rounds of ammo. That started as a stop, a cracked windshield stop.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you told me that. I hadn't heard that, and I was in New York last week, so I feel much better being back here in Chicago.
we get the irony there. Yeah.
Here's my response to that, bro. If you're talking about police officer morale, I give Eddie Johnson a check mark because he's a police officer, he's a leader, and he's a guy who will be out there with him. much like I was. The only difference is I didn't come up through the Chicago Police Department. But everybody in the Chicago Police Department knew that I was out there working with them, and that makes a difference. Leadership matters. So I'm going to say that Eddie has, you know, something that's going to work for him in the long run as far as morale goes. But this is what I'm referring to. You know, there's something, what was it called? The bill that was passed in Springfield last year, somebody asked me about this recently, talking about the two-page contact card. That's the result of legislation in Springfield, and that's something that's not under Eddie Johnson's control, and that's problematic because the data that's on there, you can't legislate good policing. You can't set, you know, legislation that's going to make police officers work harder or work better. At the end of the day, there has to be some sort of collaboration, but Springfield last year ran through some knee-jerk reaction. I forget what it was called, the Community Relations Improvement Act. That's what it was called.
Which required police officers, every time they were making contact with a citizen, to fill out basically the paperwork just as dense as if they were making an arrest.
A lengthy questionnaire.
Exactly. And you know what? Not only just the practical nature of it, if you had the most aggressive officers in the world and were still getting out of the cars and going out and doing work, it's going to take them a lot longer to fill out that paperwork, which means they're going to do less work and more paperwork.
Do you think the bad guys are emboldened by what they're seeing the reaction of the police to be?
There is absolutely an emboldened criminal in the country today. And here's something that I find really troubling. And this is a phrase that I've kind of come to use frequently now. There's a culture of noncompliance. And that culture of noncompliance has always existed in criminals, right? Because they're not complying with the law. But what's happened now is that noncompliance is being legitimized. And it's being legitimized by legislation. It's being legitimized by this whole issue of either you're on the train that the police need reform or you're underneath it. And at the end of the day, that's creating a much more emboldened criminal. The problem is, you know, this goes all the way to the Department of Justice. Just to give you a great example, I'll try and do this in 1 minute or less. If you take the entire stop, question, and frisk issue, right, and boil it down to a couple of simple facts, it boils down to the fact that 1968, the case of Terry versus Ohio was heard at the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said that police officers can stop a citizen based upon articulable, reasonable suspicion. The standard that is now being applied by the Department of Justice is not articulable, reasonable suspicion. It's population demographics. Now, articulable, reasonable suspicion is fed by things like crime complaints. And when we did our analysis of crime complaints and who John Q. Citizen says committed a crime, and you compared it to our stop data, we were stopping the right people at the right places at the right times. Mm-hmm. That's articulable, reasonable suspicion. If we told the Supreme Court that we were stopping people based upon demographics, they would say that it was unconstitutional. This all goes to the legitimizing of the noncompliance, which is making it harder for police officers to do their job and will erode the Constitution. You have an obligation to obey a lawful order from a police officer. And all of these terrible incidents that have occurred, whether it's Michael Brown, Eric Garner, Laquan McDonald, you name it, every one of those incidents could have been prevented. No two ways about it, and the police could do better. But at the end of the day, it started with noncompliance. Confrontation begets confrontation. You've heard me say that before. That noncompliance is being legitimized. That's a huge problem in this culture right now. It's going to lead to lawlessness, and I believe that's what we're seeing.
What stops?
That was a little deep. I know.
No. I appreciate
that.
It's really honest, and basically what you're doing is you're articulating in a way that is intellectually honest what is happening without diving into the hot buttons, which turn everybody's minds off. And I think that's an important way to get through that. I mean, politically now, as we talk to, you know, people of good faith in all communities, big cities, little towns, whatever it happens to be, in ethnic communities, in government, whatever, whoever you're talking to. It's a very good way of assessing. I think you've articulated perfectly what the problem is right now, because you do have people who wish to not be compliant, and they wish to not be compliant based on the notion that they have been mistreated and therefore they don't have to listen. You no longer have the moral authority to which they have to listen. And some of
you
that
know what? That's absolutely on the mark. And that goes right to the social contract that we have that says, you know, you give up some freedoms so that you can live within an organized and an organized society. But I just want to reiterate something I said in the middle of that is something I should have said at the front of it, which is the police can do better.
Yeah,
every
no
those
question.
Incidents could have been avoided.
Yeah,
every single one of them. No two ways about it.
Right, and that does go to training. That goes to a lot of things. But what now has to happen? And this is my, I know time is short here, and I appreciate your time. But the what is the way? What is an
by
affirmative?
The way, I get paid by the hour now, guys.
Oh wow, I'm sure we can't afford.
Oh,
your
by the
rates.
Way, my check's in the mail. I wanna.
Hopefully, this is pro bono.
the question is this: what is an affirmative first step to be able to get communities to hear each other? The police community and specifically in Chicago, communities on the south and west side, so that there is a trust factor. Because these are people that don't want to live with the crap that's going on, and it's leaking all over the city now. It's happening downtown. It's happening on the north side. It's happening on the expressway. It's happening on Lakeshore Drive. I mean, what can we do to start the conversation to heal this?
I think it's by admitting on both sides what I just kind of talked about, which is the police can do better, and the community has to recognize that this noncompliance causes disorder and lawlessness. I think, right, the first step to redemption is recognition. First thing we have to do is recognize what the problem is. And you said it really well, Ro, the fact that, you know, those underserved communities, the disenfranchised communities who have not been receiving what you would expect to receive from a government system, it's failing them. That causes the noncompliance. Look at the experience of African Americans in this country from the time they got here as slaves to black codes, to segregation, to Jim Crow, to mass incarceration, all of these issues, and where are the impoverished, underserved neighborhoods in this country? Right. So at the end of the day, the recognition of how we got here is the best place to start, and everybody needs to man up on it or woman up on it and say, hey, this is the problem. It's not one or the other. It's both, and people have to look at that.
Yeah. Do you think that the Department of Justice investigation will ultimately, you know, looking into the Chicago Police Department and civil rights and all the other issues they're looking into, is that going to help this department get out of this and improve? Or do you have any hope for that?
It may, but it also may not. I'm the jury's out on it, but I have seen the fact that the Department of Justice, like I just articulated, you don't use population demographics to determine how many people should be stopped under Terry versus Ohio. It's that simple. If that's a standard, that's it, that they're using. But I will say this, what I am concerned about is the fact it's like when you hire a consultant, right? The consultant has to come in and make recommendations for change because otherwise you're not paying them. There's no reason to have them.
Right.
And unfortunately, over the last 8 years, the Department of Justice has opened more investigations into police departments across this country than any other time in history. They've filed more lawsuits against police departments. And the question becomes, is it because of bad policing? I mean, obviously there's mistakes that happen, or is it because of something else that's happening, whether it be, I don't know, politically or whatever the case might be.
Yeah, well,
at the end
is.
Of the day, we got to kind of strip away the onion, get to the bare facts, and everybody start recognizing them and let's address it.
Excellent point. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, stay in touch, Gary. I think there's a lot
going
on here.
There'll be more to discuss. Even,
you guys are stuck with me.
I know. I think that's either a good or a bad thing. I don't know. It's just like being stuck with me. That's how I feel about this town, too. They seem to be stuck with me, too, and I don't know if that's good or bad for them. But either way, it's going to work out. All right, Gary, thanks so much. Appreciate
thanks,
it,
Gary.
Sir.
Take care, guys. Always a pleasure.
Gary McCarthy.